Welcome, everybody.
Hey, Robin.
Hi. I think it's 6 o'clock, so we're going to, I'm going to formally open the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting. Tonight is May 17th, 2022. Welcome, everyone. The meeting is being recorded. And, okay, I was getting a little feedback, but I think it's done. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Perfect, great. So first, identification of callers. The Select Board, myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I'm here. Select Board member Sue Lively.
Here.
Brian DeVries.
Here.
We have Town Coordinator Hilma Sumner. And let's see, guests for this evening, Barbara Gordon. Hey, Barbara. Bob Gruen.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Pat I'm McGann. Recording.
Okay. Pat McGann.
You're in recording.
Hi, Gloria Fisher.
Hi, I'm trying to come back. Oh, there I am. Okay.
Hi. Hi, Gloria. Will Emmett, maybe? That's the name. We'll see who's actually there. Is it Will? Yes, maybe. We have Allison Gage with us from the FERCOG. Hi, Allison.
Hello.
She'll be presenting at 6:15. Hi, Will. Oh, bad connection. Hey. I hear you.
Yeah. You're me.
Yeah. Bad connection, but I see you're there.
Yeah.
All right. And Emily Boss. Hi, Emily. All right. I think, is that everybody? Oh, wait. Barbara Rowe jumping in too right now. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Devin Clark's coming on.
Yeah. Hi, Devin.
Hi, everyone.
Let's see, another minute.
Yes.
No, I think that, okay. I think that, that is okay. I got you, Will. We're all set. Thanks. I think that's everyone. So we will go ahead and get started. The next item on our agenda, well, first I'll just announce we have a couple of appointments. We have actual public meetings, two tonight, so we're going to stay on schedule. I'm going to watch the clock. We have a 6:15 public meeting that is for the MVP, and that is followed at 7 p.m. for a public meeting for aerial spraying opt-out. So two public meetings for everyone that I'm going to keep us on course for. A review of the rest of the agenda. Sue, anything?
Nope.
Brian?
No, I wanted to talk about the town meeting, but I see that that's later under other business.
Yep, I have that on there. And anything else, Brian?
No.
Great. Hilma, anything that come up? Okay, perfect. All right, we're going to go right into review of minutes. We have two sets. The first one, please, is the May 3rd. So we're going to be taking a look at Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for May 3rd, 2022. Sue?
Should be May 7th, not May 9th.
What? No,
May 9th. Well, the way mine printed, it looks like it says May 9th. The date was May 7th.
Two wrong minutes.
May 3rd first.
May 3rd is
Oh, May 3rd first. Oh, well, that one, I got lots of things.
Oh, no. Come on. You totally, I'd like to have seen what I look like for a second. I don't even know what I was going to say. I didn't know what to say.
All right. So May 3rd, under public comments, Pat McGann, between the word use and she, I believe there should be a period, and nothing shows on my, it could be that it didn't print, but I don't see one there.
Yeah, right.
And under ATM preparation, under Article 4, I found that paragraph kind of confusing. So one thing that we could do is just put in that I stated that, it says Sue stated that she did not have enough to say, that she did not support the article.
Information.
I think information should be included in there.
Yes.
I have more than enough to say. And then at the and where you wrote to study the overall budget and where funds were appropriated, I think you should take out where funds were appropriated and write to address the shared questions and concerns.
Okay.
Under DocuSigns at the bottom of that page, I didn't know if we should add something to that that says there the money is coming from the budget, that there's sufficient money in the broadband funds to cover that. That was for the two invoices.
Sure.
Under building use, I just wasn't sure. Brian had said that the square footage of the community hall, I didn't know if we needed to specify that that was the entire space, all the rooms, not because if people were to compute the number of people that could be in there based on these numbers, it doesn't indicate that it's not accurate because of the divisions of the rooms. So you have less space than what that says.
Yeah, that's right. You really have to do a net square footage of the assembly areas. Like in the lower level of the community hall, you'd have to take out the kitchen and...
You got the kitchen, the bathrooms, the stairway, elevator.
Occupancy different for the kitchen use than for dining use.
Mm-hmm. So, well, how do you want that worded? I mean, I typed what he said during the meeting.
That is what he said. I just want to make it clear that. What's the easiest way to put that, Brian? Just to say that.
I guess after 1,800 square feet, you could say, however, there are separate rooms that need to be calculated based on their use.
Good with that, Helma?
Yep, okay.
And then the last thing I had was on the last page under the mail, on the piece on political comments. We need a word to in there. Respond to the. That's it.
Brian?
I don't have anything else.
I'm good. So can I have a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes for May 3rd, 2022 as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Okay, now we have the next set of minutes, which Sue...
Okay.
It should be the 7th, not the 9th.
Yes, it should be.
So now we're looking at the Town of Heath Select Board meeting minutes for May 7th, 2022. So the first is the typo of the date. Sue, anything else?
Nope.
Brian?
No.
Can I have a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board meeting minutes for May 7th, 2022 as amended?
So move.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Ryan, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Okay. Next item, we have public comment. We have exactly 5 minutes available. We'll start, Bob Gruen, or I think it was Bob, somebody from the Gruens had asked, I assume it's you, Bob, for public comment. And so if there's other people, we may have to put that off until after our public meetings, but go ahead, Bob.
Well, I'll try to get this in less than 5 minutes. I've cut some stuff. So I was concerned that the ATM started almost a half hour late in order to find a quorum. Now that may have happened in the past 45 years, but I don't remember it ever happening before. A large group of citizens have disconnected. Why? Well, over the past 47 years that I've lived in Heath, there have been major town decisions that would affect the vast majority of citizens. The planning board rewrote our bylaws. We needed to build a new school and later, sadly, had to close it. A new safety complex was designed and approved. Plans were offered for the purchase of property to expand our library. There was an offer put forward to purchase the building at 18 Jacobs Road. In every single one of those complex decisions, great effort was put forth to involve all of Heath's taxpayers and citizens. There were kitchen table meetings, brought smaller groups of people together to discuss the pros and cons, offer opinions, and ask questions. There were also town-wide informational meetings with graphs and charts and maps and plans that people spent a lot of time presenting to the citizens. Questions were asked and answered. Then, and only then, annual town meetings addressed those issues and votes were taken. Whether you liked it or not, the people had spoken. Now, maybe some people think that moving town offices to the newly designated municipal complex is not as important as those other decisions, but many other people think it is as important. Even though town meetings were promised before any moves would be made, and the moves are supposedly temporary, the only meeting that directly addressed that movement was last year's ATM. That meeting voted not to move the offices. Why have there been no public town-wide meetings allowed to openly discuss this issue? It's time for a special town meeting to address what is being planned and listen to citizens' views. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. We do have 2 minutes. Anybody else want to sneak in a public comment in the 2 minutes we have?
Sure. I'll jump in. I have nothing prepared, but
two minutes, quick.
I know, 15 seconds. I just remember along the way that many of the decisions in the last year were due to ventilation, disability access, ADA compliance, buildings that have been inspected and not passed for many reasons. I don't have notes in front of me, but I do feel as the town as the employer of many employees, I've witnessed many meetings that were discussing employee circumstances. So I don't see anything as a permanent move. I see us solving problems as we go and still facing many challenges with all of the physical attributes of our buildings that we're trying to solve. So it's sad that people didn't come to meeting. There's a lot on the table and I wish they would have been there so we could talk. You know, I spoke a lot about school issues and I would have loved to have seen another 100 people in that room, because there's a lot to talk about, but I don't see any permanence in any decisions. So just putting my comment out there. But Bob, thank you for voicing your opinion. I love that we can all voice our opinions and work through things. I want to see all buildings be saved. Thanks.
Thanks, Barbara. We have a half a minute. Gloria?
I can do it in 30 seconds. One of the reasons a lot of people did not come to the town meeting was because it was being held indoors and it wasn't, in a lot of people's minds, a safe gathering spot. I just want to put that out there too.
Thanks, Gloria. Okay, it's 6:15. So I've got to stick on the public meeting. I'm going to open up for, I will have public comments later if we have openings in between the 6:15 and the 7, and then also after the 7 if there's anyone who wants to pop in on a public comment since we had to do it short. So thanks everybody for coming. We are at 6:15 p.m., Hilma. And so we have our public meeting. I think Allison is going to present. So Allison Gage is here with us from the FERCOG. And are you?
Oops. Yes. Can you all, can you see the slides?
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome.
Okay, great. I'll take it over. So this is the listening session for HEAS Hazard Mitigation and Municipal Vulnerability Preparedness Plan. My name is Allison Gage. I'm a senior land use and natural resources planner with the FERCOG. I've been working on this plan with the town of Heath for about the last year and a half, and I'm excited that the town is one step closer to receiving MVP community designation. So the purpose of this forum is to review HEAS Integrated Hazard Mitigation and Municipal Vulnerability Preparedness Plan, present the main findings, and then hear a little bit from you all. First, I'll provide a brief overview of the MVP program. So this is a program that was developed to help cities and towns be more prepared for climate change through resilience building. The state awards communities with funding to complete vulnerability assessments to figure out how they may be impacted by climate change and then develop action-oriented resiliency plans. The planning process allows communities to think about which aspects of their infrastructure, society, and environment may be vulnerable to climate hazards and come up with a plan to address those vulnerabilities. Once we're finished with the planning portion of the process, Heath will be certified as an MVP community and will be eligible for MVP action grant funding, and then will also be more competitive for other grant funding opportunities offered by the state. The program started in 2017 and since then has awarded about $65 million to communities, and this includes funding for both planning projects and action grants. Heath received funding to complete a planning project, which allowed the town to complete a vulnerability assessment and develop an action plan. As you can see on the map, Heath is joining many other towns in the county in going through this process. Leiden and Holly will also be submitting plans this June. And then after that, just three towns in Franklin County will be left to secure MVP designation. Heath also received funding to update their hazard mitigation plan while working on obtaining MVP designation. So we prepared an integrated plan that incorporates the components of both plans. FEMA requires that the hazard mitigation plans are updated every 5 years in order for towns to remain eligible for pre and post disaster funding. And as mentioned, the MVP program will open the town up to a new funding opportunity. These programs complement each other really well. So it's great that Heath was able to tackle both of these plans at once. One of the primary differences is that the hazard mitigation plan requires the town to complete a comprehensive inventory of all of the natural hazards that may impact the town, whereas the MVP program provides the opportunity for a more targeted approach to identify and respond to the town's greatest vulnerabilities in the face of a changing climate. So this integrated plan combines the features of both programs and meets the requirements for both. And perhaps most importantly, hazard mitigation planning and MVP planning processes emphasize the importance of planning for climate change resilience. I just wanted to highlight the main changes in our climate that we've already begun to see and will continue to see. So broadly speaking, we're seeing changing precipitation patterns, meaning overall Massachusetts will likely see slightly more precipitation each year, but we're more likely to have periods of heavy rain followed by periods of drought, similar to what we saw from June to November of 2020. We're also expected to see more heat waves by the end of the century, which means consecutive days above 90 degrees and higher average annual temperatures. And last but not least, we're also expected to see more frequent and intense storms with climate change, such as thunderstorms, snowstorms, and tropical storms. All these variables can further strain vulnerabilities in your community, especially with regard to your infrastructure, society, and natural environment. And if you're interested in learning more or diving into that data, the MVP program has a great climate change clearinghouse.resilientma.org. So in order to complete the vulnerability assessment and incorporate the concerns of community members into the integrated plan, the FERCOG and the town of Heath hosted a series of four workshop meetings from October 2021 to April 2022. During these meetings, we identified strengths and vulnerabilities in terms of Heath's infrastructure, society, and environment. And then at the last meeting, we brainstormed and prioritized resiliency actions. The workshops were a particularly valuable part of the planning process because it provided the opportunity for many town departments, boards, and committee members, as well as residents, to come together and talk about their experiences and express concerns. It also provided an opportunity to collaboratively talk about solutions to build resilience to climate change. So building community resiliency is really at the core of this integrated plan, and thinking about how to address any vulnerabilities in each of those three sectors can help to build resiliency. The program defines climate resilience as the ability of a community to address the needs of its built, social, and natural environment to anticipate, cope with, and rebound stronger from events and trends related to climate change hazards. And in that sense, resilient communities don't just recover, they continuously build capacity to reduce the impacts of future climate events. I think resiliency can often be discussed as the ability to simply bounce back from an event, but here it's more thinking about and coming up with solutions so there's less of a disturbance in the first place when there is a hazard event and the town can bounce forward. So these were identified as Heath's top hazards. Heath is heavily forested, so it makes sense that hazards, severe storms, and drought to the community. For a couple of reasons. First, impacts to the health of residents, fluctuating temperatures, and extending mud season more severe. Also of concern because intense precipitation events can damage Heath's extensive network of dirt roads. With those top hazards in mind, during the workshop meetings, we further drilled down on the community's vulnerabilities and did so sector by sector. For the infrastructure sector, we had many discussions about how the poor drainage on dirt roads may continue to worsen with the impacts of increased heavy precipitation events and how prolonged power outages can affect the town's communication network during an emergency. We also discussed how some town buildings are in need of repair to improve resilience, most notably being the salt shed. If the salt shed were to fully collapse, there is a risk that road salts could contaminate local water supplies. In terms of your community, some specific concerns were an increased risk of vector-borne diseases, as rising temperatures can expand the geographic range of pests and prolong the amount of time that they are present in the environment, a lack of local doctors and medical facilities, and seniors who may not be on the town's emergency contact list. The Council on Aging maintains a list of residents with medical needs who may need assistance during a storm, but the Council on Aging is concerned that there are missing residents on the list. And in terms of vulnerabilities related to the town's environment, again, the increasing risk of brush fires and wildfires came up, as well as invasive species that are affecting the town's tree canopy, such as the hemlock woolly adelgid. In addition to vulnerabilities, we also discuss what the town's strengths are or what programs and features may already help the town be resilient to climate change. Despite the risks that I just reviewed, Heath is generally a pretty resilient town. You already have a lot of great practices in place and community members who look out for each other. For example, the Heath Highway Department is proactive and continually works to make repairs and upgrades before the issue becomes critical. The town has also been successful in getting grants for road infrastructure. While there continues to be a lot of critical need due to the impacts of more frequent heavy precipitation events, Heath has done a great job tackling needed road infrastructure maintenance and upgrades. As a part of the hazard mitigation planning process, we also fully assessed all the town's mitigation strategies. That is included in Table 4.1 of the plan and includes a full review of the town zoning bylaws. And now I'll quickly provide a brief overview on MVP action grants, just to give everyone an idea about what types of projects are eligible through the program. And then I'll summarize the draft recommendations that came up during the MVP workshop. So these are the three main types of projects that the MVP program will provide funding for. So they'll fund any type of planning, assessments, and regulatory updates. So that could include projects such as inventing and mapping critical facilities to understand risk, conducting education and outreach about climate change to expand awareness, or updating zoning bylaws. They'll also fund nature-based solutions for ecological and public health. Those types of projects are a core principle to the program, and those are projects that would protect, restore, or manage an ecological system to safeguard public health and clean water, increase natural hazard resilience, and/or sequester carbon. Projects such as converting impervious surfaces to green spaces or land acquisitions are eligible under that category. They'll also fund resilient redesigns and retrofits for critical facilities and infrastructure, and that's where projects such as culvert upgrades or energy resiliency projects would be eligible. So these are the draft recommendations that were deemed the highest priority after the MVP workshop. Workshop participants brainstorm many ideas, and then we discuss the priority of each action. So this list reflects that ranking. Implementing action items relevant to maintaining the town's roadways were the town's highest priority. This is important for general resiliency and for emergency access. Flash flooding is an ongoing issue affecting the extensive network of gravel roads in town, which can be addressed by developing nature-based solutions, such as stormwater best management practices in combination with conventional strategies to mitigate runoff and erosion. Repairing the town's salt shed is another high priority for Heath. As I mentioned, the building is at risk of structural failure due to broken roof trusses. If the shed's roof were to collapse, access to the road salt would be impeded, which would hamper the highway department's ability to respond during a winter storm event. Additionally, if a flood were to occur after a collapse, the road salt could be transported and pollute local surface water and groundwater supplies. Securing funding to train additional emergency management technicians also emerged as a high priority action for workshop participants. There are very few EMTs local to Heath, and town officials were concerned about ambulance response times during a hazard event, especially when considering the number of vulnerable residents who live in Heath. Statewide, EMS services are at risk of failure due to operational costs and lack of support. Investing in local residents to help with emergency response could be an effective solution that would help neighboring hill towns as well. So starting today, we have a 2-week public comment period. It'll be open through May 31st. The plan is posted online on Heath's website on the MVP page. If you have any comments, please send them to me via email. I'd love to get feedback on the plan, especially the action plan. I will admit it's a very long document. So, If you want to take a look at it, the most important sections to look at would be sections 2 and 4. Section 2 is the summary of the MVP process, and section 4 contains the action plan. So next steps will be to, once the public comment period is closed, we'll submit the plan to MEMA, FEMA, and the EEA. And they'll probably come back with some comments on the hazard mitigation plan. We'll revise them, and then the town will officially be able to adopt the plan. And your hazard mitigation plan will be valid for 5 years. MVP doesn't, those plans don't expire at the moment. They're currently going through a process to kind of update their next phase. So that's kind of the timeline that we're working under. And now I'll take any questions or comments.
Thank you. Let's see. We'll start off with the select board. Sue, anything?
No, I've been at the meeting, so I'm more curious to hear if other people have any questions.
Let's see. Brian, anything?
I don't have anything.
Let's see. Are you going to stop sharing?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. All right. Now I can see a little better. Okay, everyone. Is there anybody who has any questions or comments that's here? If you could raise your hand. Bob.
Are the grants competitive?
Yes, they are. The MVP action grants are competitive. And one thing about the grants, I will say, is Heath is eligible for a 10% match instead of a 25% match. So that is great. But in terms of competitiveness, I will say they do have a lot of funding right now. So it's a great program to apply for if you have project ideas.
Barbara.
So I'm curious, I'm a family of a firefighter and on the fire association, mm-hmm. and we're currently in an initiative for recruitment and dealing with printing that can be shared among other fire departments that's been underway for several months. So I'm curious, when you speak about the EMT program, we're also crossing over with the local school district and talking about EMT and CPR certification. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's a lot of overlap. Mm-hmm. So where would fire department assistance play into this? Is that also in the same category as EMT? And then also our fire station has issues. So in addition to the salt shed, was that discussed?
Yeah, I'll start with the shorter question first. The fire station was discussed in the plan. The fire chief wrote in and mentioned the mold issues. So that is covered in the plan, and in the action plan, there's a general item about upgrading buildings, including the fire station. In terms of how the fire department would play into the shared services, I'm not entirely sure. I think in terms of funding through this program, the MVP program has, they'll fund projects related to public health. So I think that's how we were able to tie in the EMTs. But if it's a shared service, I'm sure that could be worked in as well. But just for my own reference, so you're talking about Heath combining fire department services with other towns as well?
No, we're just working on recruitment together because we're all working. We're not combining departments. The departments are individual.
Okay.
My husband works for two different departments, so there's frequently overlap. He's also, does this program have anything to do with the new countywide strike force that's being trained?
I think
that's a FARCOG issue.
If it's, that would probably be in the, through the emergency preparedness department. So I haven't heard about it.
Okay. Because there is, just letting you know, for overlap, there is the first county wildland, which is wildfire strike force, that's in training currently for the county.
Oh, that's great.
So I took a picture of the information on the input screen, and I'll forward that to the fire departments to have them weigh in on this plan. Thank you very much for the study.
Thank you so much.
Brian.
I do have a question or two. You mentioned the salt shed as being a vulnerability, but what can this program do in terms of physical infrastructure? I don't know what the limits of funding are for any of these projects, or is physical infrastructure part of it, or just say engineering part of this?
Both. You can apply for a grant to do the design and engineering, and then you could apply for funding to do the actual infrastructure work. And I think in terms of the salt shed, it would be an eligible project under both the FEMA's Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities Grant. They call it the BRIC grant. So it's like the federal level, and the MVP program, because in this case, there is a risk of hazardous materials contaminating waterways. So does that answer your question?
Are there limits to the funding? Say if we ask for $600,000 or $700,000 to replace the salt shed, would that be something that was feasible, or is that just beyond the program's ability?
There's not a funding limit. It would just, if you did go through a program like this, there is a match requirement. So it'd be a 10% match. And in terms of selecting the projects that are most competitive, Carrie and Petrick is the regional coordinator for the Berkshires and Hill Towns, and they're a great resource, and they would be able to tell you how competitive the project would be. The coordinators, when the pawn is not out, they're pretty candid about, in terms of, you know, letting you know what would be competitive and what wouldn't be.
Another question is, we've been advised that the town solar project would be fundable under MVP, but would that be in another round of funding, or would that be eligible in this current plan?
It would be eligible. So action grants, the next round will be next spring, 2023. Unless you want to apply for it this year?
As soon as possible, I guess.
Okay.
But I was led to believe that it wasn't eligible this year, but maybe in the next year's grant. It's like,
yeah, you are eligible now, because we've you know, met all of the timeline requirements, but I believe the period for this round is closing soon, or has already closed. I need to double check on that. So if you haven't put together the grant, then next year would probably be your best shot.
Okay. What about, is that true of the salt shed too? I mean, because we've been trying to figure out how to put together the funding for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you have you know, the paperwork all ready to go, then yeah, I can email you the information about the current opening.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Emily?
Just an informational, Allison, about the grant for the town's information. Are the MVP grants generally reimbursement grants that have to be, the money's fronted, or are there accommodations that could be made where the payments are made directly to contractors, that kind of thing, for infrastructure and other work?
I believe it's not a reimbursement. So I believe for the action grants, you do get the full amount.
Great. Excellent.
Other questions? Sue, did you have anything?
No.
No? Okay.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
One of the vulnerabilities in the town is the dam at the Mohawk Estates. It's a privately owned dam, and how would that figure into this program, or would it not? But certainly would cause severe damage downstream if it were to fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's addressed in the plan. I know in the last hazard mitigation plan, it was more of a concern because there wasn't an emergency action plan put together. But since the writing of the last plan, they did put together that EAP, and it seems like they've been in, they've been in communication with town officials about the plan and the status of the dam. But generally, in the plan does address that the failure of the dam is a risk to the town.
Okay. Anyone else? Other questions? Comments? You good, Brian?
Yeah, I'm good for now.
Okay. It doesn't look like anybody else has any questions, Allison. Anything else that you want to, in closing or anything?
No, just if you have any other comments, feel free to email me and spread the word that the public comment period is open through the 31st. And yeah, Hilma?
I don't have a question. I just want to comment that the assistance and guidance that the town received from FERCOG officials, Allison and others, was just excellent, guiding us through the process. And I want to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was really wonderful to work with you all, and I appreciate you all showing up to all those meetings. I know it's a lot and it takes a lot of time, and you were all super thoughtful during the process, which makes the planning process a lot better and fun. So yeah, thank you. Thank you all. And I think that's it for me.
Great. Yeah, so on behalf of the Select Board, I do want to say thank you, Allison, and also thank you to everyone else in the town who took part and put in their time. Much appreciated. Until the next time, then.
Yeah. All right. I'll hop off.
Sounds good. Thanks, Allison.
See you later.
Take care.
Thanks, bye. Allison.
Yep. Bye.
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 All right. Anything in closing before I go on to the next item? Gloria, is that on this item?
No.
Okay.
I thought you were going to do another short public comment. Sorry.
That was what I'm going to do. I just want to wrap this one up. Hilma, anything that we need to do? Just wait the 2 weeks now, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Sue, on MVP?
Nope.
Brian?
No, but other than looking into leveraging something for this salt shed replacement or some of the other projects that we have.
Yeah, it sounded like she'd send some info, Hilma, so maybe we could do a quick follow-up on that. Okay, yes, I will open up. Sorry that we had to cut public comment short. I'll open that back up and just remember we've got 7 p.m. as our next public meeting. So Gloria and then Pat, I know you wanted to speak. So Gloria.
Thanks. I also wanted to say that I totally back and believe everything that Bob Gruen said. The town meetings used to be sort of like a Norman Rockwell painting. When you look at that painting that I actually bought for Town Hall, it doesn't seem it's that way anymore. And I didn't attend because I didn't think it was safe to be indoors with maybe a lot of people when COVID was rampant. If that wasn't the case, I'm still not sure I would have attended, because what really is the point? We vote on stuff, and then the Select Board sort of just does what they want anyway. And we had been told for months that the move to the school was temporary, but no one really believed it, because obviously it's not temporary. So I would hope that the three of you would sort of think about this and think about what's happening to this town, because it's a town that I love dearly. Thank you.
Thanks, Gloria. Pat?
Just two things. I'm mystified as to how people ignore the COVID pandemic, which was near its height during the time when some people in town were insisting on public meetings of the type previously held. How is that supposed to happen? COVID was and continues to be a game changer that can't be ignored. And my other comment is, about the office moves. There was a non-binding vote held at the end of town meeting last year on a very cold day when many people had left before that vote, and many of Heath's vulnerable older population were unable to attend. Also, there was a signed statement from 19 people that had they been able to attend would have flipped the results of that vote. It seems ingenuous to me to keep insisting that this represents a sense of the town's will. COVID is not temporary. Done. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Was there anybody else for public comment? Jesse?
I'd like to basically agree with the Gloria there. It seems like the vote of the people doesn't really matter, and the Select Board are just going to do what they want. We know the one clean vote we had on the school, the majority of the people voted not to keep the school. And, regardless of who was there, people did vote to keep the town in the town center. And that was just, basically ignored by the Select Board. And And you guys just basically did what you wanted to do, regardless of what the town wanted. You didn't try to build consensus or trying to find something that would work well with all the people. You just made a decision and made it our financial burden. And, you know, when we do need you to step up and protect our rights or protect our home or protect our children from industrial degradation, we can't rely on you. And it doesn't seem like appealing to, you know, our constitutional rights or appealing to our, you know, wanting our children to be protected or just, you know, asking you to respect the vote. It doesn't seem like you're on board with the people. That's, you know, that's been an ongoing issue. And that's, you know, that's a lot more, because there's a lot more people out there who have that similar view than just the people who show up and express it at these meetings.
All set, Jesse?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. Other public comments for tonight?
Tom Rabbit has his hand up.
Oh, Tom?
He did, but it's gone.
I think that was just a thumb.
Yeah, it was just thumbs up.
Oh, okay. Anybody else for public comment? Okay, thanks all. So I'll close down public comment for this evening. It is, let me check my clock, 6:46. So we have some time till 7 p.m. I'm gonna go hop into other business. Select board members, please. First one on the list, I think we can get that one done. This is the, in your mail, I think it was in the mail, right, Hilma? Is that where it was located? The True Cannabis?
That's correct. It's in mail. I think the end of part one.
Yeah, middle of one, actually. Part one, middle of one.
Yeah, sorry, middle of one.
From the Cannabis Control Commission. Did you have a chance to take a look at that? Helma, you want to give us a lead in on this?
Well, basically, as it says on the first page, it's notification from the State Cannabis Control Commission to the municipality, Heath, that they have received this application that was sent in by True Cannabis Inc. Applying for a marijuana cultivation license. And they are asking the town to give affirmation or not that the company is in compliance with our local municipal bylaws and ordinances, or to indicate that they are not in compliance and how, if they are not, how they are not. And evidently this is a safety step, so to speak, on the part of the CCC.
Okay. And this is one of the groups, one of the four, right?
That's correct.
Does this have to go to planning?
No.
Sue, questions, thoughts, comments?
No. Is this the only one we've received so far? Will we be receiving the exact same things from the other three farmers?
I assume we will receive from the other three. I assume this is like a standard step in the licensing process, but this is the only one we have received to date.
I don't think I have any other questions.
Brian, comments, questions?
No, it's just basically a checklist of compliance.
Yeah.
Do we need to, so we just respond to this, Hilma?
Yes, and I can say, as far as I am aware, they are in compliance with everything that like all our bylaws, everything that has been asked of them to date.
Okay. So it looks like we can just have this form, page two is the form that needs to just be checked. And it looks like we can authorize Hilma to do that. Are we, that's way how I'm reading it. Mm-hmm. Are we good with that, Sue?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Brian?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay. You want to vote on that, Hilma? You want us to do a vote?
Please.
Okay. Yep, please. can I have a motion to, let's see, to respond, the municipal response in reference to True Cannabis Inc.'s application for a marijuana cultivation license, that they are in compliance pursuant to 935 CMR 500.102 1D, and that we are asking Hilma as a town coordinator to complete and send in this form. I have that motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay, thank you. The next one we can check off, I think, relatively quickly. We still have time. I'm watching the clock. School committee representative appointments. As people know, we don't have a school committee, formerly have a school committee rep right now, but Barbara has sent a note in saying that she's willing to have a select board appointment through the end of this fiscal year, so through July 1st. Is that something that we're comfortable in doing? Thoughts, Sue?
Yeah, I think it would be good for us to continue to have representation on there until we can find somebody else. My only question would be is if we should, if someone comes forward between now and then, would we then be saying that they would take over in July, or would we have them take over immediately?
Well,
I think it seems to me that Barbara stated her reasons for wanting to continue through the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
You know, to get things organized, and the next person could take, I believe, could take their seat after the first of the, or after the July 1st.
July 1st, yeah.
That would That's be what my... makes sense. That's what makes sense. I just wanted to make sure that we were all thinking the same thing for that.
I think so. I agree. Okay, so I have to have a motion for this too. Can I have a motion to appoint Barbara Road to the school committee, be our school committee rep through the end of the fiscal year through July 1st, 2022.
So moved.
Okay.
Any further questions, discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Great, thanks. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, this is just going too quickly. 6:53. ATM review. Do you want to try to sneak that in now, or you want to put that in off till after? We could start a conversation if you want. We've got 7 minutes. Brian, you said you had to, you wanted to kind of talk about some.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that might, I don't know if it's going to be more than 7 minutes, but I'd rather wait until we get down. I think I'd rather wait and have a full discussion of that. Are you talking about the town meeting?
Yeah. You want to go into,
yeah.
All right, we can skip. How about Mohawk Trail Regional School District FY22 assessment era? Any conversation for tonight on that one? I think the only thing, couple things to know is we did get, a response from our public records request. You should have seen that. I don't know if you had a chance to go through all those documents yet. And I think Hilma, if I believe you sent that to FinCom as well.
Yes, I did.
Okay. And I don't know if they're going to, if they're meeting, are they going to have a meeting to review everything?
I don't know. I can ask.
So that would be one of my questions, is if we could reach out to the finance committee, because they were one of the group of people who wanted to see these records as well. So if we could reach out and see if they're going to meet and discuss it at all. That's just one of my thoughts. Sue, anything tonight?
No, but I would just add to that that some of the finance committee members have joined the Coleraine Finance Committee tonight, and I think maybe also the Mohawk Budget Subcommittee, which is having a meeting to talk about some of the issues, and Coleraine extended an invitation to other finance committees. So some of them are there.
Okay. That's right. I did see that. Brian, anything on that for tonight from you as well?
No.
Okay. Hilma, anything that you wanted to add on assessment or anything Mohawk Trail?
Well, the only thing I know is that the recorder has emailed. Oh, that's just me. Sorry. Anyway, the recorder has emailed Budge and Barbara asking for comment about this, that evidently the newspaper asked for an article to be written about it.
Okay.
So I don't know if you will be contacted or if I will be contacted. I'm not sure. I do know Budge and Barbara have been contacted and asked for clarity and information.
Okay. Very good. All right. So we'll kind of keep that as a placeholder. oh, now everybody's phones are going to start ringing.
Sorry.
Why would that be now?
Why are we having that now?
Blame it on COVID.
It's just the emergency thing. But you can listen to it. Listen to Hilma. Or whoever. What's that one for?
That there's a clinic, a vaccination clinic tomorrow afternoon down at Hallamont.
Okay. Very good. I also saw today, I think they're starting to do, totally off track, but not following that. I got a notice, I think GCC is starting to do testing again.
Mm-hmm.
I did see that too today on my emails.
Yep.
Appointment preferred, because I think it's limited days, but just FYI. Okay, well, we're getting closer here to 7:00. I don't know that we have time to go into anything else on the other business, unless there's something quick you have, Hilma. Maybe in your report or anything? Anything
well, quick? My report is quick, because I mean,
okay.
Something from town meeting. I mean, you know, a lot of the work was town meeting related. The auditor and his team are going to come starting next Monday.
Good.
He sent me some questionnaires and documents that needed to go to the different financial offices, which I have distributed, and also our accountant will be here Monday as well to work with the auditor.
Great.
The other thing is that there was a final report. If you remember our CCC IT grant that we received, boy, probably a year and a half ago or so now, $45,000 that enabled us to get all the upgrades and the central server and all that. I needed to submit a final report of the work that was done and kind of a financial recap. And I got that done and sent in.
Okay, great, thank you. Quickly, any questions for Hilma on any either of those, Sue?
How long is the auditor here for? How long does the process take?
I'm not sure. He just kind of said the week of May 23rd. So I'm not sure if it's all week or part of a week, or may depend on how long it takes him and his team to, you know, read through the material. I'm not sure.
Okay. Brian, anything for Hilma?
I have nothing.
Okay. All right. Then it's 7 o'clock. We're on track tonight. 7 o'clock. It's time for everybody's favorite bug, mosquitoes. Mosquitoes. So we are opening up. We have a public meeting right now, and this is for the aerial spraying opt-out application. And Barbara, are you on deck for us?
Absolutely.
Welcome.
Thank you. I hope that you select people received my letter and summary of what is before you. I know that two of you were involved in this decision last year, which we had to frantically deal with because we got very short notice and a lot of confusing information. Things are much better organized this year. Sue Lively was not on the select board last year when we dealt with this, but she attended our most recent Board of Health meeting where we went over this. So I think, Sue, do you feel as though you were brought up to speed on the history?
Yeah, and I was actually at the meetings when you discussed this last year.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't on the board, but I was at the meetings, so.
Good. So I don't feel the need to give a presentation unless you would like one. I'm certainly willing to review if you feel that that's important, or if there are people in the audience, because this is part of the process. There needs to be open meeting with public comment. So if there are people attending who have questions or comments regarding this, that's part of the legal process. If you as the select board should choose to opt out of all spraying or opt out of just aerial spraying, you need to testify that that took place. But in short, for everyone, the Board of Health discussed this again at length recently. And based upon the new information that has come through from the Mosquito Control for the 21st Century Task Force, which was convened, they were appointed by the Massachusetts legislature in the fall of 2020. They completed their review and their recommendations just in late March of this year. They've made a lot of recommendations, which it's going to take time to be digested and see how much of it actually gets adopted through legislation. In the meantime, while that's taking place, the Board of Health feels that continuing to opt out of aerial spraying only would be our recommended course. And the reasoning behind that is that we don't want to sever our relationship with the state to help us both logistically and financially if we should find ourselves in the midst of a local public health emergency related to mosquito-borne illness. We do not have the knowledge, the manpower, or the money to deal with something like that on our own. However, we feel as though aerial spraying is not a safe or effective solution. And so by opting out of aerial spraying only, we're reducing a lot of the environmental and public health risks without eliminating the option of having the state help us out if we should find ourselves dealing with a serious arbovirus outbreak. We appear to be in a good position to have a successful application again, based on the criteria that this time they elucidated. I did review our history, which is part of that, determining whether you should even be eligible for an application. And we've had no positive mosquitoes in the last two seasons. And we've had no human or animal cases of triple E in the last 2 years. So that makes us eligible to apply and to have a favorable response from the state again, but we won't know till it happens. Ultimately, the decision is yours, but the Board of Health would recommend basically doing what we did last year.
Great, thank you, Barbara. So Select Board, and then I'll open it up if anybody has any questions or comments. Sue, anything for Barbara?
Nope.
Brian?
I think we've been through this before, and I agree with the recommendation of the Board of Health on this.
Yeah, I do too, I agree. But yeah, since this is a public meeting, if there's anyone who has any comments or questions you want to raise up, Gloria? Yep.
Yeah. So the other option is being on ground spraying in individual spots. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, our first option in general and what we're trying to work towards by being a member of the Pioneer Valley Mosquito Control District is if they're identifying the species that tend to carry these diseases, it's not all mosquitoes, but certain species, we would like to do targeted larvicide treatment of the water areas where they seem to be breeding. That's the safest, both for our local ecology as well as for human exposures. But if we opt out of aerial spraying only, and we find that we are having problems with a public health threat related to triple E or West Nile virus or one of the new diseases that may be working their way north, the state would still preserve the option of coming in and doing targeted ground spraying, which is exactly what you were mentioning. And as much as we would love to not use any of these chemicals, if we're truly in the middle of a public health crisis, it might be necessary to get things under control. So the choices, the options that the Select Board has pertaining to this are, first of all, no action. If they take no action and do not apply to opt out, the state preserves the right in the face of a public health emergency to use aerial and ground spraying anywhere in our town with the exception of organic farms that are registered. And then they have buffer zones that they have to stay away from those. They can also spray, either ground spray or aerial spray, private residences that have registered to opt out in the case of a public health emergency. So that's if the Select Board doesn't opt out of anything, the state has the right to come in the face of public health emergency and use ground or aerial spraying anywhere they want in our town, regardless of how people have registered their individual properties, with the exception of registered organic farms. So that's one option. The second option is to opt out of use of all sprays by the state. If they choose that option, and we should end up facing a public health emergency, we, the town of Heath, will have to take full responsibility for mitigating that. And that means coming up with a plan and implementing it to get things under control, which is very, very complex and expensive. And we would have to do it without the support of the state. And then the third option, which is the compromise option, is we can opt out of aerial spraying only. And then the state will not be able to aerial spray in our community, regardless of whether there's a public health emergency, but they can help us with targeted ground spraying if needed in the face of a public health emergency.
So I guess my question is, does any of the private landowners have any say in this at all?
Private landowners can opt out of spraying of any kind, but that will not be respected in the face of a public health emergency.
So are you saying that they would be spraying regardless of whether there's a public health emergency?
No. I mean,
I'm confused about this.
All right, some communities, especially in the south part of the state, that have you know, terrible nuisance problems with mosquitoes, not just health problems, but nuisance problems, they actually engage with their mosquito control districts to provide nuisance spraying.
Yeah.
And in that situation, private property owners can register to opt out and not be sprayed. But once a public health emergency is declared, unless a municipality has opted out and actually had an accepted application to opt out from the state, the state can come in and spray anywhere except registered organic farms.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome.
Are there other people with questions? Nobody?
I guess more. I have one.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Designated areas that the spraying would be concentrated on, like say the swamps around Papoose Lake, or has that been mapped out yet, or is that still in the planning?
Supposedly, so I'm not sure where your question lies.
Do we have a plan in place for the spraying? That's what my question is.
So the spraying wouldn't be up to us. It would be up to the state.
They
have a whole panel of experts who come up with those plans. Now, being a member of Pioneer Valley Mosquito Control District, there would be some input from Pioneer Valley to help them in their decision-making, because they've collected information. I mean, the first year they put out several traps to identify where high-risk species might be concentrated. And now they're just doing background trapping and monitoring at a very low level, because we don't even have a full membership. Full membership is $5,000 a year. And we're in almost as a gift from them at $1,000 a year, just to do background trapping, one trap. Its location is secret. I don't know where it is. No one's supposed to know where it is. But they did map wetlands, our wetlands. You know, they did look at where the higher risk areas would be, and they did initially set several traps to get an idea where they needed to concentrate efforts. And they could share that information with the state to help them with targeted spraying. Does that answer your?
I guess, yeah. I just wondered if it's something that's not published that we look at. It's something that's kind of dependent upon where certain species are identified, or That is what it sounds like. It's, I mean, if it was me, I would look at swamps and I'd say, if you're going to spray, these are the areas where the swamps are in town, you know, where there's standing water and breeding areas for mosquitoes. So I just didn't know if there was some kind of a plan like that that was published. Would have an idea.
I mean, previously, the idea, at least the governor's idea, was that if we have a state emergency, they're just going to do aerial spraying and they're going to spray everything. Targeted spraying, I think, would be concentrated in swampy areas. Whether it would be even further targeting based upon information provided by Pioneer Valley, I don't know. It's up to the state. I mean, it goes out of our hands.
You good, Brian, or?
Yeah, it wasn't a concern about the spraying so much as whether how far along these plans were developed, you know?
Yeah.
Not where I can see them. Doesn't mean they don't exist, but they're not, at least not readily findable in that great internet.
Devin.
I just wondered, is this only pertaining to like public town owned land? It's like if the town says no aerial spraying, but you can do your other spraying, they can come even without a public emergency and come spray like on my land?
Devin, no, they won't. And if you want extra protection, you can register your property to opt out of spraying, and they will respect that. But in the face of a public health emergency, they do not honor those.
Okay. So you're more like this whole plan that the town might approve or disapprove is really more pertaining to town land though?
No, it's all of Heath.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the only way to keep them from not spraying on my land would be to do the you know, sign it up, like you just said, the opt out.
You could do that. But just so you know, it's highly unlikely that the state will come in and spray here unless we have a declared public health emergency. And if we have a declared public health emergency, they will not respect your personal opt-out. They will spray wherever they feel is going to be the most efficient in dealing with the problem.
Okay, I understand that. So I guess, what is the point of the town saying yes or no if they're not going to do it unless there is an emergency?
The purpose, at least what we're proposing, the purpose is that if we opt out of aerial spraying, we can reduce the broad exposure of all of our town. And basically, in the face of a public health emergency, the state will be forced to do more targeted, controlled spraying where it's most needed.
Okay.
So it would reduce the amount of pesticide and other related chemicals that our town as a whole would be exposed to.
Tom?
Was that year when we had a person from Heath there?
We can't hear whoever is it. Can't hear you. Still nothing. Now you're muted. So Claire, are you there?
Could she telephone in?
I can somewhat hear very, very faintly. Very, very faintly.
Can you hear me?
The comments in the chat.
Wait, Tom, talk again. I think I can hear you very faintly. No, not good. You want to try to call? We'll give them a moment. Is there anyone else that has a comment? Maybe Claire's trying to call in. Brian.
I was wondering, we've just spent more than $2 million for high-speed broadband. And is this problem we're having tonight, it's not just with Tom, it's with others too. I mean, I'm having trouble with Barbara Gordon. So I'm wondering, is this a problem with Zoom? Is this a problem with our broadband, or what's going on? I think we need to find this out. Because this should be seamless.
I noticed that there was some hesitation in the first meeting from Allison. I noticed when I started the meeting, I was having some freezing, but I thought it was the wind. We had huge wind gusts, and then I had a little bit of freezing. But the only issue I've had other than a little bit with Allison is hearing either Claire, I think it's Claire trying to talk. I certainly can't hear her. But yeah, I agree. We should check in. Zoom isn't my favorite.
There can also be problems with people's individual equipment.
Yeah.
You know, and
I know.
Well, we have a tech person. Yeah, they need to look into this because this is not acceptable. I mean, this is crazy.
So I don't know if Claire's going to call in or if Claire, I see the hand is still up. Anybody else with any questions? Well, I'll get the select board final thoughts at least, or close to five. I think everybody's in the same spot, but Sue, you got thoughts, comments? You're muted.
I have a little extra background noise here. Option three, opting out of the aerial springs, seems the most logical thing for us to do.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Brian, same thoughts, or have you changed your ideas at all?
I said that earlier, that I agree with recommendations.
I agree as well. So I guess we'll move on with the vote. We need a vote tonight, right? Because then the rest of the form gets filled out. Yeah, okay. So Claire, sorry, I'm sure it was you trying to talk. Sorry, we can't hear you. If there's questions, send them in. We'll try to get answers. So select board, are we?
Hi, this is Claire.
Oh, there we go, Claire.
It took me that long to figure out how to phone in. I wanted to say that the meeting we had about the joining the mosquito district, we joined the district was because the year at Heath Fair We had someone who was sick from a mosquito-borne illness, and then they said it was from he got it at the town of Heath, but there was no way of proving otherwise because we had never had mosquito testing here. So that's why we joined the mosquito district. And I think we need to stay with that. And I think I agree with the ground spraying. Otherwise, if we're not in it, we have no way of proving that we don't have these mosquitoes here, or we don't have infected mosquitoes. So it's our best bet to keep on with the mosquito district, and to do the spraying in an emergency situation. I guess that was my comment.
Great. Thanks, Claire. Glad you're able to call in. Sorry we couldn't hear you before. Any follow-up comments or questions?
I would just like to say I fully agree with Claire, and that last year we were one of the few communities in Massachusetts that had a successful application to opt out. Mm. And a strong part of the reason we were successful was because we were a part of a mosquito controlled district. So
that's
it's
great.
Worthwhile. Yeah.
Yeah.
For many reasons. Thank you.
Great. And we don't have to, we're still part of that. We don't have to re-up or re-enter or I don't know what you want to say.
Yeah. Well, that was confusing to me too. I looked into that this spring, and we are a part of that control district unless we tell them otherwise.
Okay.
And we can leave at any time. You know, there isn't a certain renewal date. They just consider us a member unless they hear otherwise. But I would like to clarify that we're not a typical true dues-paying mm-hmm. member. You know, mm-hmm. they're being very generous with us. And at some point, I think that we need to consider budgeting to become true full paying members.
Okay.
And the benefit of that would be, A, we'd be supporting a very important organization that's taking care of us and helping them to grow and do more. We also would get more traps and even better surveillance of our town, because right now we're at kind of a minimum.
Okay. Point well taken. We'll remember that. Try to remember that. Budget time. I think it's a good conversation, Barbara. Thank you. Okay, Select Board, task at hand. Unless anybody else has any other comments, we're going to take our vote. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Barbara, too, for facilitating that conversation. So can I have a motion from a Select Board member to that we've received the recommendation of the Board of Health to opt out of aerial spraying only. And I'm looking for a motion for the Select Board to agree to opt out of aerial spraying only.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Great. Thank you. Go ahead, Barbara. Yeah.
Hilma, I think you have everything you need from me, right?
I believe so.
Because I gave you the educational plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so you'll complete the rest of the process and get it certified and signed off. And it can be submitted electronically this year.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. But if you need any help, just get in touch.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Is there anything, Hilma, you need from us on this? Anything more from the Select Board?
Not, yeah.
Signature. Yeah. I figured that.
Not tonight.
That. Yeah, okay. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for your comments and for joining us and listening in. All right, Select Board. Couple other business items to go back to. Okay, so ATM review is next on our list. We're going back to our list. So we wanted to have a quick review, as we always do, on ATM. Brian, do you want to start with your, I have some things as well, but I'll give the floor to you.
Yeah, my main concern was how the meeting ended. That, you know, usually we take questions on Article 22 if people raise their hands. And it came as a complete surprise that the meeting just abruptly ended. After there was a, this isn't a criticism of anyone. This is, to me, this is just, you know, it seemed like mass confusion over what should happen. You know, there was a discussion between the town moderator and the town council, and then suddenly the meeting ends. And, you know, that took me completely by surprise. I didn't hear any of that conversation. And I mean, we have in the past used that article to allow people to make announcements or thank people for things they've done in the course of the year. I mean, I never believed that it was, a soapbox for people to engage in political diatribe, but I do think that, you know, people had their hands up and they were, I'm not going to say they were ignored. They just maybe weren't seen but usually I think we have an obligation if some people raise their hands to call on them, you know, and the moderator can decide whether or not what they are bringing to the floor is appropriate or not. But I think if someone raises their hand, they need to be recognized. And I think we need a better conversation next year on the ground rules for the what happens when that article comes up, you know. So I don't know if we want to put something in italics over what's appropriate and what's not appropriate for that article, but we at least should have some kind of policy and make sure that we talk to the town moderator about what we expect to happen. Because even now I heard a discussion that this was a Select Board article and the Select Board had no further business. That's not how we've used this in the past. It's always been something where people can make announcements or, you know, make comments, thank people, or and I think we should clarify what we expect to happen and then have that conversation before town meeting next time or before, you know, any meeting, public meeting. So anyway, that was my comment. I just wanted people to know that there was no, we didn't plan to end the meeting that way. You know, that was a mistake, in my opinion, the way it ended.
So just my clarity too, I guess, but that's not, at the end of the day, that's the moderator's decision, right? That's not the select, right? It wasn't our decision to end it. Well, none of us ended it, but yeah, so the moderator. I think that's in the past, true. One of the things that I heard, and I don't even know where I heard this from, but one of the things I heard was that if there were thank yous, notifications about like whether there was a pancake breakfast coming up or all those type of things, yeah, those would happen during that time, but that people would always let the moderator know in advance so that he was prepared mm-hmm. to have those statements. Mm-hmm. So I think that we need to make it clear that if people do have announcements and that type of thing, they do need to let the moderator know. But yeah, it was unfortunate. I agree with you, Brian. It was unfortunate that it ended the way it did because it looked like it looked like there was this conversation that took place that none of us were really privy to, and then it ended. So it was confusing and it was difficult for people to understand. And I don't know, I agree. Maybe when we're getting ready for ATM next year, we really need to make certain that there's clarity, that if folks want to, they need to reach out to the moderator and let them know if there's some other comments or announcements, or like you said, not stand on a soapbox, but yeah.
It's not like a public comment period. That's not what that's announced for.
Yeah.
But we need clarity about it. I guess clarity among ourselves, and then to have a discussion with the moderator before town meeting. And if the moderator needs to make an announcement about what's appropriate or not, that would be good to do before we get to that point in the meeting.
Right. I agree with that. Sue, thoughts, comments?
Yeah, I agree. It was a very confusing ending. And just for people who were there, the conversation that was being held at the table was because we had asked Eric if there was something that we had wanted to bring up that we had thought we might be able to do during that time. And the lawyer had just said that it wasn't appropriate because it wasn't part of the warrant on the agenda. And that was a conversation we were having, but we had talked to Eric ahead of time. And that was the decision on the floor. But I think we need to work on this before next year's meeting. It seems to me that there isn't any clear policy. It's just kind of what's happened in the past, and it's not clear to anybody what that means. I'm not even sure that other towns even have that article on their warrant. And if they do, if we choose to continue to have it, I think we need to clarify what it's for and how you use it for everybody's sake so that we don't go through this again. I don't think it's a conversation that should happen next April. I think it's a conversation that should be happening this winter or sometime when we're not in the midst of everything, so that we can come up with a solid direction for how this should be managed.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Yeah, I was saying we never expected this to happen this way, so we didn't have that conversation.
Right.
But now we know we have to have it.
Exactly. Well, and I think, for me, I need clarity too, just on the appropriateness of the article being there and what its use is. And if the article itself as written has been inappropriately used, then getting that clarity and then saying what we would like to be able to do and finding out how we could do it would be helpful as well. If the years, like you said, Sue, it's just been done that way, but there's some, we're not handling that correctly. Getting clarity and just getting that education from council and the moderator. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the moderator who gets to make those calls, but we should have that conversation.
Yeah. And it could be that instead of having an article, we just have a line that says town announcements at the very end.
Right.
Depending on how we see that being used, but it definitely is something we need to clarify for us and for everybody else. And I think we should do it sooner rather than later, because it's very hard to make good decisions on how to manage something like that when you're 2 weeks away from doing it. I just feel like it would be better to do it sooner and have it clear for the future.
Right. Other thoughts on ATM or any other items on ATM on your mind, Brian?
There were a couple of comments made tonight about the select board, or the town meeting takes a vote and the select board does whatever they want. That is blatantly false. And people should know better, who said that should know better.
I think that one of the items that I wanted to bring up, and I was going to bring it up at the end of the meeting just as a precursor to the next meeting, because I want to put on, I'm not going to go into the conversation tonight because it's not technically on the agenda. It is rough, it kind of is coming up a little bit, but I want it more clearly put on the agenda for next week. And that is the conversation about the, you know, the buildings and the town offices. And that's going kind of right into what you were, part of what you were just saying, Brian. I do think that we need to reopen the conversation about where our employees are, the buildings, a little bit about COVID safety precautions. So I'm just gonna ask that we put this, and I'll figure out the whole list of it so it's clearly on the agenda for next week. But if you guys are okay with that, I'd like to start that conversation again next week. I don't know that there's gonna be any completion, but I think it's time to start having that discussion again. And I agree that there are non-binding votes that are taken, but there's a lot more to the pieces and parts of some of the decisions that we have to make as a select board. And I'd like to be able to address that a little bit more myself next week when it's properly on the agenda. Does that sound okay, Sue?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, I think we had said, or you had said earlier in the year, that we would try to address the building use issues before the end of the fiscal year after town meeting. So.
Yeah. Okay. And that kind of goes into the building accessibility and safety a little bit. We've got that report that kind of goes along into the building usage. But, you know, that's the next one on our item. But so if we can come up, if you'll remember to put that down for next week. I think next week we just have one appointment, right? So I think we'll have time next week. We're meeting next week for everyone who's here. I know that's usually after, we'll talk about this a little bit later too, but usually after ATM, we go to every other week, but we are meeting two consecutive weeks in a row this month. And then we'll go over the rest of the schedule later, but we are meeting again next week. So, what else on ATM? Anything else, Brian?
I don't know if we need to address the issue of having the meeting indoors versus outdoors. You know, if we need to make any kind of statement about that, the fact that most, like 90% of the town meetings are indoors, you know, in the state.
Yeah.
Just some kind of, you know, people say stuff and there's no way to correct it. You know, I think we need to be able to put something, information out that says, well, this is how we made this decision. And this was a reasonable decision. You know, it wasn't done recklessly.
Yeah. I think that we had, a mailing in our mail for tonight, actually, that I don't have it right in front of me, but it was kind of an informal survey that was taken after annual town meetings of multiple towns and cities, not just towns, multiple towns and cities. And I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at that, but the numbers, I mean, there was only one town that had a mask mandate. And I think that was us. So, but there were multiple towns. Most of the towns were indoors. Most of the towns had in cities had indoor meetings. And some of them, you know, there as many as possible recommended masks, but not everybody wore masks at meetings. It was clear from the respondents that some people who were uncomfortable wore masks. People who were comfortable without went without, and the meetings went on without issue. And so I don't think that we made a decision. I think our decision was even more, more safe than others in the fact that we still have that mask mandate in place. And so we had that extra step.
It is true that there is an uptick in cases, and things may change. We may need to move into another period of taking extra precautions. But at the time this decision was made, we made it based on recommendations of the state, the Board of Health. It wasn't made recklessly.
Right. Barbara?
I just have a suggestion, something to think about. And this is coming from me, but not from the Board of Health as a whole, because it isn't something that we have discussed as a board. But in talking to some other communities, there are towns that now have pushed their annual meeting date into early June, which I guess statewide, you have up until June 30th to execute a town meeting now, with the understanding that it gives them more flexibility to pivot if they need to being outside without facing cold temperatures. And sadly, we may be dealing with COVID, and blooms of it and unexpected health threats that it would be better if we could pivot, if we could, say, gee, we had planned to have our meeting inside, but there's, the trends are not looking good and it might be safer to be outside. I know you don't just magically put up a tent in 2 days, but I'm talking about in the weeks coming up or even the month coming up to a meeting, to have the option to pivot to outside in a parking lot or like they do in Buckland at the high school on the bleachers or under tent. In order to deal with an unexpected threat. It's just an idea. Because I know last year we had problems we were under tent and it was really cold and that created risk issues, the temperatures. And there may be times though where being inside is not the safest choice because of things that are outside of our control. So just something to consider.
Thanks, Barbara. Hilma, you had your hand up a moment ago. Did you?
Yeah, I'll pass.
Okay. All right. Sue.
Hi. I attended the Board of Health meeting, the last Board of Health meeting, and one of the issues that came up, and I think it's probably something they're going to have to be considering more as time goes on, is the issue of when does personal choice become the lead in a lot of what we are doing? The issues of COVID have gone on for so long. And the Board of Health and the state and the select board have been making these decisions for everybody. And at what point and how do we start putting more responsibility into the hands of the individuals? And I think that this town meeting was probably an example of that. We talked to the Board of Health, had made many recommendations on how to make sure the meeting was safe, but they did not tell us that we shouldn't have it. We talked to Randy Crozier, who is the health agent, and he said, I think we had an email from him that said that it was appropriate to have it inside. We talked to other towns to see what they were doing. We had the square footage and the air circulation issues that were required within the building. We were able to set up seating so that people could have some social distancing, and chairs certainly could have been moved in other areas in other ways to accommodate that. So really it came down to personal choice if people felt comfortable going to the meeting or not. I at this point, I feel, I know it's a hard thing for some people, but I feel comfortable with the research we did in making the decision that we made.
Thanks, Sue. I agree. I agree with what you're saying. Other thoughts, Brian?
No, other than next year, we'll make sure that the heating system is working if we're indoors.
I know, everybody said it was cold.
Yeah, it was cold.
Maybe it's just that I keep my heat so low at home. I thought it was fine.
It was a little chilly till the end. The heat, when somebody complained about it being cold and Tim turned things up, then it got warm, but the meeting was done.
Yeah. Devin, you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about the quorum thing. I know Bob had touched on that. I mean, what is the requirement for our town? Because, like, I read about Holly had, like, barely anybody, and they had no problem. I know they're smaller than us, but what is the quorum requirement for our town?
Hilma, can you give us that? Even though you're not the town clerk anymore, she can give us some close. Though.
Yes. Our quorum is 10% of the total number of registered voters, which as of whatever, May 7th, I think it was like 56 or 57 people we needed. And a quorum is established by each town. And I think Holly's quorum is 10 people. I mean, it can go as low as 10 people. You can set a specific number that is constant no matter how many registered voters the town has, or you can set a percentage, and many set a percentage.
Okay, thank you.
And Devin, the number is different for a special town meeting compared to an annual town meeting. Mm-hmm. You don't have.
All right. Bob, you have a question?
This is just from my own information. Once the quorum is set and met, does that number have to stay through the whole meeting? Or can people, if we have 56 to start, does there always have to be 56? Or can it, can people leave? That's never been clear to me. That's just for my information. Thank you.
Hilma?
The quorum does not have to remain. If someone wants to challenge the fact that the meeting is continuing without a quorum, they can challenge it. I don't know what happens after the challenge, but as long as it's not challenged, as many people as want to can get up and leave. You only need a quorum to call the meeting to order.
Thank you.
Thanks, Helma.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, Sue, anything else on ATM?
I don't have anything further.
I don't think so.
All right. Thank you. Helma, anything? ATM? Okay. Great. Thanks, everybody. Next item that we had was building accessibility and safety. Not much tonight from me on this other than I know the report it went to the library trustees. I think they've been meeting, or they have a meeting tomorrow. And we're going to have this on our agenda for next week. And I think that, and we're gonna have the trustees in as well. I think they're gonna want to listen to us and speak to us. So they're gonna have an appointment time. Anything on building accessibility and safety tonight, Sue?
No, looks like we'll be dealing with it next week.
Yeah. Brian?
I have nothing.
For tonight, okay. Hilma, is there anything you needed for us tonight other than what we've gone over on that?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. And then green communities, Brian?
I haven't heard back from, we're waiting for a contract from ECI, but they have not, it has not come through yet.
And the that light on the lighting project too, also?
Well, what's insulation project too. They haven't, that's the one we have, they have to send a quote for the lighting project and a proposal, I mean.
Okay.
We do have a proposal for the insulation project, but not, they haven't sent the contract.
Okay, all right. Okay. And what about the outside lighting? Hilma's
shaking
her hand, waving at me. What's up, Hilma?
I'm sorry. I completely forgot to add this to my report. let's see. The tech school brought their trailer up. They were waiting on the fixtures to come in to the supply house. They finally did. They brought the trailer up last Friday and did a little like preliminary work, I guess, to speak, in terms of the teacher was kind of, he had the junior class, so he was doing some orientation with them about what's going to be involved in changing out the light fixtures outside. And I haven't seen him at all this week, so I assume it's like classroom week or whatever, and that they should be getting started. I'm hoping they will be getting started next week.
Great.
Nice. Thank you.
Yep.
Other stuff on green communities? Brian, anything?
No.
Sue?
Nope.
All right. Wow. Now we've done the town coordinator report. Mail. There isn't too much mail because we've done most of it, but we will. There's a couple items here. So mail part one, first item is the packet we had from Barbara on the opt-out for the aerial spraying. So we've already gone through that. The second one is official letter of resignation from Kate from Board of Health clerk. So we have to vote to accept that one, right?
Yes, please.
Do somebody give me a motion, please.
I move we accept her letter. I move we accept her resignation with regret.
Second.
Thank her for her service.
Yes. Any discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. So you'll send it, will you send a letter, Hilma, thanking
yes.
her?
Yes.
And, so next week, that's going to remind me, we better put on the agenda.
Board clerk.
Thank you.
Because I was just going to say the same thing.
We will.
Thank you. The next item on part one is the Cannabis Control Commission. We've already reviewed that and voted. Voted. Then we have the Board of Health May monthly report for your review. And a copy of a note from Barbara Rhodes, school committee issues for your information. Then in part two, we have a letter, the waste management, that's the statement for review, that's the May settlement monies. We have What is the next one? The next one, how come my computer here is giving me a glitch? The next one is the STAM meetings. Yep, mm-hmm. That's for our info on meetings held. Yes, for your review. And then we have the FERCOG, a summary of review on a report for short-term rentals for your review. Sue, anything to discuss?
No.
Brian?
I have nothing.
Hilma, is there anything else you needed from us on mail?
No, I guess I just wanted to note that with the what they call it, the waste management settlement, like mm-hmm. what we're getting for getting paid for all our recyclables.
Yep.
I can say that it's coming in much better than like what Jan Amin kind of projected. She thought by this time that actually it would have reversed enough that the town would be in the situation of paying something for disposal, but the prices are still high on recycled materials. So we reap the benefit, even if it's a little bit, we still are getting money back and not having to pay in.
Good. Nice. All right, that's it for mail. So now, let's see. Next week's agenda, we've kind of gone over a handful of items. So we'll keep green communities on. We'll have the building's accessibility and safety. We'll keep the assessment error on just in case we have anything to discuss. And we're going to have use of buildings and the board's clerk
mm-hmm.
and the trustees. What else? Anything else that you can think of, Brian?
The salt shed.
Salt shed. Sue, anything? You're muted.
I don't think so.
Okay. Hilma, yeah, go ahead.
We may have an appointment, unless you want to put it off, and it's not definite, but with the Mohawk Trail Woodlands Partnership, group, they want to come provide an update of what is going on with their organization and the development of trails and this kind of thing. If you want to put it off until June, I will tell them that. There's nothing hard and fast.
If they can wait, it would be good. If they can't, we'll put them in. It's just, I think we've got a lot that's going to come mm-hmm. up next week.
Yeah, you also have summer schedule to talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that too, yeah. So yeah, if they're willing to wait, that would be great. And then yes, the schedule, I did send out, a note about the schedule. I don't know. Did you get to see that, Brian?
I did not.
Okay. So my recommendation was, since we're meeting tonight, obviously, almost done. We're meeting next week. That's the 24th. We take off the 31st, and then we start in June on the 7th, which is the first Tuesday, and then we would go to every other week. And that would take us through June, July, and August. So if you can look, and you don't have to respond now to them all, but if you can look and see, so it would be June 7th and then the 21st. And then July 5th, whoops, and the 19th. And then August would be 2, 16, and 30. So if you could just check, and if you have any summer plans, we can make changes. But that was just my recommendation to get us into September.
Okay. I guess I did see that, just didn't respond to it.
That's okay.
Yeah. The July 5th date, does that, I don't have a calendar in front of me, does that interfere with the July 4th thing at all? Are we okay with that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Unless you were going away, if anybody was going away for that week or anything, that I, you know. But no.
We just have
to be posted.
Yeah, earlier. I was thinking if it was like a Monday, but our meetings are on Tuesday. So basically, I wasn't thinking.
No, that's okay. The 4th is a Monday.
Yes, it is.
Long weekend. So that's my thought. Things, you know, if they got to change, they got to change. But that's what be the aim for the summer months. And what about, I have a question, budget. We got to take a look at numbers at some point too, right? Just shortfalls and transfers and all that.
Yes. Yes.
Appointments.
And appointments at some point, right?
Oh, right.
Are those effective July 1st appointments?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That should probably happen on the June 21st meeting.
Okay. So just throwing those two things out there, yes. Appointments and money. Money.
And we still don't know what's happening with the Mohawk error, but if we have to have a special town meeting, how, before the end of the fiscal year, how much time backing up from that? When do we have to have some kind of a decision to get it in this year, fiscal year?
Do we have to?
I don't know.
I don't think we have to. Or I'm guessing we don't have to.
You decide when you decide.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't sure
because of this fiscal year.
If we wanted to, Hilma, what would that be look like? That would be relatively quickly. We'd have to decide.
You have to figure, let me think here. At least 3 week lead time, if not more, 3 to 4 weeks. Warrant has to be posted 14 days ahead. It's probably an article you would want town council to review. At least that would be my recommendation.
It's almost like we have to know that next week. If we're not meeting the 31st, just FYI. So
seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah, but it's on this. We're going to have it on the agenda. So if we really feel like we need to, it'll be on there. We can discuss it again. I had something and then it just went out of my mind again. It was important too. Oh, crap. I don't know. Sorry. Okay. Anything else on the schedule or meeting for next week? I know I had something, but Hilma.
Well, this isn't for next week, but just keep in mind that unless the governor changes his mind.
That's it.
Everyone will have to go back to in-person meetings starting, I believe it's July 15th.
That was it, Hilma.
Great minds.
That was it. I was like, what is it? It's the was important. It was meetings. It was we're going back to in-person meetings.
Yes.
Ooh, so we need to discuss that too. So we'll discuss that next week a little bit. We'll keep it on the agenda. And that's all I got for tonight. Brian, anything else?
Nothing else.
Who?
Nope.
Noma. All right.
All set.
And thank you everybody who came and spoke and took part. And I'll take a motion to adjourn, please.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you, folks. Good night.
Night. Night.